We're back on Veterans Radio, and as the music leads us right into our discussion of the GI Bill, a New Deal for Veterans, we're talking with author Glenn Altshuler, who is a professor at Cornell University, and also looks like he did a really great book on rock and roll. I have to check that one out, too. I want to give you, all of our listeners out there, an opportunity to give us a call at 877-573-7825. The Servicemen's Readjustment Act of 1944, better known as the GI Bill, was signed by President Roosevelt on June 22, 1944. Tell us what happened as a result of that, Glenn.
Well, there were 16 million veterans of World War II, and that's an astonishing number of men and women.
Right.
More than half of them used one or more provisions of the GI Bill. And I don't think there's any doubt that this legislation played a significant role in the extraordinary prosperity of the United States in the period of the late 1940s and through of the 1950s. Probably most importantly, more than 2 million veterans went to school on the GI Bill. And what I want to emphasize, Dale, is that this bill paid tuition up to $500 plus living expenses for a veteran. And at that time, the tuition at Harvard was $500.
Oh.
So there was no college or university in America where the GI Bill would not pay full tuition. That's extraordinary.
That is extraordinary, and it's not only the colleges, and we know about in our area here. We're around University of Michigan and Eastern Michigan University, and that the construction boom that went along with this GI Bill to house these students.
There were many temporary quarters. Here at Cornell, we talk about this in the book. A lot of veterans were put up in Quonset huts, mm-hmm. In temporary barracks, in reconverted hotels. But also, of course, universities had to accommodate these GIs with lab spaces, with classrooms, mm-hmm. with more instructors, and this bill not only served these GIs, but it did something else that's vital. It demonstrated to Americans that an ordinary guy or gal could make it mm-hmm. through college because the GIs did extraordinarily well, and it demonstrated at just the right time the visibility of higher education and the importance of higher education to make your way in American society. So the ripple effect of the GI Bill was felt for years and decades to come, not only on the individual lives of these GIs, but on people who are not GIs and on American society in general. It's an extraordinary story.
It truly is, and you were talking about, you teach at Cornell. In fact, right after the passage of the GI Bill, I think it was Governor Dewey, didn't think that New York had enough colleges and universities to provide room for their veterans because they had such a large population of veterans at the time, that it kind of was the inspiration for the New York public university system, wasn't it?
He initially pressed for some new colleges to be found just to accommodate all the GIs who wanted to come. And that initiative is the origin of the public university system that followed. So, again, the expansion in higher education is related in some significant ways to the GI Bill itself. By the way, Dale, there was a period in the late 1940s, where just about 50% of all of the students in institutions of American higher education were GIs. That's pretty amazing.
That is That's fantastic. I mean, just the opportunity to go to school, I think for a lot of these men and women, was something that they never dreamed of.
That's right. And a lot of people said, well, they're not going to do very well. They're going to need special assistance. Quite the contrary. These GIs were very serious students. They were very successful students. And ultimately, they were among hundreds of thousands of Americans who became teachers and engineers and doctors. And so as America moved from an industrial society to a post-industrial society, these GIs provided the human capital for that transition.
Right, and I'm trying to find a quote, and I can't find it in here right off the top of my head. I forget who it was that said that it intellectualized, but it made us become so much more aware of how much more knowledge is out there.
And that's right. I think you're referring to Peter Drucker, the famous management guru. And Peter Drucker asserted that the GI Bill, because it provided the human capital for a knowledge society, was the most important piece of legislation in American history. Hard to argue with it.
I want to just look at some of the numbers here that we got in one of your press releases. And it talks, as a result of the GI Bill, the number of professionals in the U.S. skyrocketed. 450,000 new engineers, 180,000 new doctors, dentists, and nurses, 360,000 teachers, 150,000 scientists, 243,000 astronauts, 107,000 lawyers, 36,000 clergymen who were able to join the workforce because of the GI Bill. Some of the people that have benefited, that names that our audience might recognize, Harry Belafonte, Charles Bronson, Johnny Cash, Bill Cosby, Senator Dole, Senator Graham, Gene Hackman, Joseph Heller, and the list just goes on and on and on, including Chief Supreme Court Justice William Rehnquist. All of these people benefited from the GI Bill, and it's not just the college part of the GI Bill that people benefited from. I wanted you to go into the non-traditional, I guess you could say, trade type of schools that they were able to go to also.
Yeah, it was called sub-college training.
Right.
And there were millions of people who used sub-college training. And, you know, some of it obviously was a little bit frivolous. You could go to bartending school. But for many people, having the opportunity to get some training to be a hairdresser, to get some training to be, remember the days when there was such a thing as a television repairman?
Oh, yeah, the guy with the tube box.
That's right. those kinds of professions. People wanted to become airline pilots and did some training for that. Some of it was just enrichment of their lives. So the sub-college training, too, provided an opportunity for vocational and avocational training. And many, many GIs found that extraordinarily important. Remember, at this time, you had many GIs who were not high school graduates. And so having the opportunity to do sub-college training was very important to them.
I was talking to a friend of mine. I teach part-time at a local community college, and she was talking about the GED program that was started up during World War II also.
Yes, and again, as you know, opportunities for people in non-traditional ways to be able to graduate from high school are another significant part of our educational system now.
It's just fascinating, and I'm looking through the pictures inside of this book, and I'm encouraging people out there. The book is entitled The GI Bill, A New Deal for Veterans, and I'm talking with one of the authors, Glenn Altshuler. And give us a call. Tell us what you did with your GI Bill at 877-573-7825. We've talked about the educational benefits of the GI Bill. What about the housing benefits?
The housing benefit was also very important because there was a government guarantee of loans to purchase housing at a low interest rate.
I think it's at 4%.
4%. Many GIs, Dale, were first-time homebuyers. young men, some instances young women, about 2% of the armed forces at that time were women, starting a family. And as many of your listeners will remember, this is a period of suburbanization. This is a period where people are buying their first homes. And I've talked to many, many GIs who said, that's how I did it.
Mm-hmm.
Hearing about and knowing that this government guarantee would be available allowed me to do it. Made it possible for me to do it.
Right. We're going to continue talking with Glenn about the GI Bill, not only the one from World War II, but the most recent post 9/11 GI Bill. When we come back after this next break, we're talking about the GI Bill, education, home ownership, lots of things. Give us a call. You're listening to Veterans Radio. We'll be right back after these short messages.